Good morning. Y'all doing good? It's kind of a chilly, rainy morning. Anybody feel kind of just drab? Just like, eh? No? Nobody here would feel that way, would they? Nope, of course not. Nobody's cold or anything like that, or no? It's so good that you're here. I'm glad to see you. We're continuing with our sermon series, Undisputed. Heroes of the Faith, and today we're going to be talking about Mary. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open up to John chapter 12, and just kind of stick your finger right there. We'll come back to that in just a few minutes. But I want to kind of recap. Last week we had been talking about Paul and how God stepped in at just the right time. God knew exactly what was going on, and that's kind of how he does things, right? He kind of knows all things. And so he steps into our lives at just the right moment, exactly when his timing is perfect. And we talked about how Paul was obedient. Paul did exactly what he was supposed to, but God used people in Paul's life to lead him that way, to care for him and to love him. And come to find out that Saul and Paul are actually the same person. And it was a challenge for us to be who God created us to be, even though our name will remain. We are new creations on the inside, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. And we praise the Lord for that today. Amen? Amen? I mean, let's do it, right? I mean, if y'all are going to be here and we're going to do it, let's do it. Let's get excited. Let's talk. Let's have a good time together because church should be fun, right? There we go, Levi. Good job, bud. But one of the things that I wanted to remind you about is that sometimes, you know, when we're going through the middle of problems and dilemmas and things, we said this last week, that it wasn't so much that God is necessarily testing our faith as much as it is that God is revealing our faith. And so we want to make sure that we continue to press on in our journey and whatever God has for you in whatever situation you're in. Today that God is revealing things to you and that you are acting on those things and that you're being obedient to what God is calling you to. I think that that's partially my issue 9 out of 10 times is that I don't act on what God is calling me to, that I just kind of suppress that and say, no, he didn't mean that, he meant this. And so we want to make sure that we're being obedient to the Lord in all things. And so again, today we're going to be looking at Mary and John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. But before we get to that, do you guys like candles? Anybody like candles? Like, man, I love candles. You ever go to a store and you're like, I'm looking for a new candle, and you can just kind of get lost in the candles. Have y'all noticed, like, you ever been to a Yankee candle place or even just a shop that sells candles or whatever, and you just sit there and, that one smells good. Smell this. I like that one. Oh, this one's terrible. Oh, that's bad. Oh, I can't get the smell out of my nose, or whatever the case may be, right? Perfume stores are that way, and they kind of give you like little coffee beans to smell to cleanse your nose hair. I don't know what that's for, but you know, you change the way. But anyway, when I was a kid, my mom used to burn candles. Okay, but when I was a kid, we didn't have candles like we. I don't know why, but we didn't really have candles like we have today. Like, you know, you go to Walmart, you pick up a sugar cookie candle, and you burn it, and it's great. Well, when I was a kid, we had candles, like tall, skinny candles. And they had this certain smell to them, okay? Like, I don't know if they were scented or not, or if they were supposed to be scented, but there was a certain smell that they would put off. And I used to love this smell, and my mom would burn these candles, and she put these candles in this a half of a wooden log. I know this kind of sounds odd, but it had kind of like holes drilled into it, and she would stick the candles in this thing, and they would be colorful, and she would burn the candles, and it would melt down, and it would melt across this piece of wood. It was really kind of cool looking, you know, and I remember those candles, and, you know, the thing about that is when I smell that smell. Like I smell that candle burning smell, whatever it was, and I'm immediately taken back to 614 Commerce Street, Gulfport, Mississippi. I know exactly where I was and where I am, and I'm standing in my living room looking at these lit candles, and this this smell that they're giving off. And I love it. And I love that so much. And maybe that does that for you. Like nowadays there's candles that maybe you have that you love, right? Strawberries and cream, or they have something for everybody, right? Like you can get like wood, you know, or like tobacco, or like, you know, dirt, or, you know, there's like a smell for everybody. You know, if you like the beach, there's a candle that smells like the beach. If you like lavender and sage, and they have candles that smell like those things, right? And you can get big ones, you can get small ones, you can get all kinds. Like I said, you sit there and you smell the candle and you find the candle that you want, and then you decide, I'm gonna buy this. And you get it home and you burn that candle, and what happens? It goes away, yeah. You burn that candle and your whole house will smell like this candle. And maybe you've been to somebody's house who's been burning the candle and you don't like that candle and you can't get away from that smell. You ever had that happen to you? You're like, whew, whew, but you can't say anything because you're a guest in that person's house and you'd be rude. You don't want to do that, right? But the whole deal is this, that the smell is uncontainable, right? The smell just kind of permeates everywhere, and whether it's a smell that you like or you don't like, it's there. Maybe you're not a candle person. Maybe you're a baker. Maybe you like when things cook. Yesterday I made a loaf of banana bread at our house. We had some old bananas, and I was like, I'm not throwing these away. I'm going to make some banana bread. And I love the smell of baking. I love the smell of banana bread. And it, too, goes through the whole house. And yesterday our house smelled so good. I would go outside and come back in. I'm like, oh, I love the smell. It's amazing, right? You ever been to your grandparents' house, right? And you're like, what are you making me? I love you. Or you've been to your friend's house, right? You're going to go over for a little dinner party or just hanging out and they're cooking cookies or something like that. There's nothing better. Or maybe you're going to watch a movie and you pop popcorn and that smell. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all understand what I'm saying here? The smells, like, and smells are so intense and smells are so interesting because they can put you at a certain place at a certain time immediately. And you don't even have to think twice about it. You smell a certain smell and you immediately are transported somewhere. You can see every detail of everything that's going on at that exact moment. Am I right? Are you there with me on that deal? It happens all the time. You could be just walking somewhere and smell like a certain thing and you're like, oh, that smells like da 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 da. Or, oh man, you remember that one time that we went to blah, 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 blah. And it's because you've smelled something that was just so specific, right? And so it's a crazy thing these smells are. So we're going to look at this story today, and we're going to look at Mary, and we're going to see what she did. And I think that it's probably one of the greatest moments, one of the greatest, like, humble acts in the Bible that we could probably read about. And so when we talk about heroes of the faith, you'll understand later on why we do that. So let's read together John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Just follow along in your Bible. I'm reading from the ESV version. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money back, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you have always have with you, but you do not always have me." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we always have you in our hearts now as believers. Father God, we pray, Jesus, that you would be Lord of this time. God, we pray that we would be obedient to you. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, and that we would clear our minds of all other things except for you. Speak to us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible talks about this anointing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So all the Gospels talk about this. Matthew, Mark, and John seem to talk about the same exact experience, okay? Luke has a little bit of a different story, and so scholars think that maybe Luke is mentioning a different story in a different situation. So if you're looking in your Bible and you want to follow along in Matthew 26 or Mark 14, we're specifically looking at John 12, but just know that the Gospels, the Gospel are synoptic Gospels, so they are basically telling the same story here. Now, Matthew and Mark don't mention Mary's name, okay? And that's important because, you know, we read scripture and we want to know who they're talking about specifically, because we don't want to make assumptions about Mary. We don't want to make assumptions about people in the Bible, because that's not what we're to do. We are not to be able to take liberties to just assume things about the Bible. If the scriptures say it, that's what it is. We believe in the inerrancy of scripture, and so we believe that that's what the Bible says. And so John specifically states this is Mary of Magdalene, and so that's what we're going to go with. We're going to go with Mary of Magdalene because that's what he states. And so it looks to be like it's the same story from all the Gospels, but Luke's is just a teeny tiny bit different. So that's a little bit of a history there for you on that deal. But so this Mary is the sister of Lazarus, and Martha, you know, and this is coming off the heels of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, all right? That's a big moment in the Bible, right? This is a big moment in scriptures, and actually next week in our final sermon of Undisputed, we're going to be looking at that story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and so we're kind of setting things up today a little bit. But, you know, there's a pretty intense history here between Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus. This is an intense, like not a bad intense, but a really good intense. Like they have a lot of history together. There's a lot of things that kind of go along here, and this is important for us. And so Jesus comes to Bethany, which is about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And so, you know, they've walked and all this. And so they have a dinner, you know, and so people kind of are hanging out at this dinner. I'm sure like most times, like the men are kind of hanging around at the table. The women are serving. You know, Martha assumes her position as servant. And Mary does something completely different. Mary does something that kind of catches everybody off guard. Now, there's a couple of things about this that you need to know. So let's look at our scriptures together. So they gave it, this is picking up in verse 3. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, there's a couple of things of why this is super significant. One, Mary took this pound of ointment, this oil, this spiked nard, whatever your Bible says, this pure nard, this, your essential oil, you know, whatever, you know, if you're a Young Living or whatever you are, you know, they took this oil that was extremely expensive. And so the Bible says that later on when it talks about Judas, and it talks about 300 denarii, which is about a year's wage. So think about how much money that is for them. So you think about your year's wage and having something that's that costly. And she takes this oil or whatever it is. It's probably something that she may have inherited probably from somebody or whatever. It's not. It wasn't really something that you know, she would just kind of gather on her own. So it's probably handed down to her or given to her at some point. And so she takes this oil and she dumps it on Jesus' feet. All of it. There it is. Boom. Just dump it out at the feet of Jesus. It was probably her most prized possession. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you know, if you walked around with a you know, I don't know, what's something, a prized possession that you have that is extremely expensive? Maybe it's your wallet. Maybe it's your, you know, your wallet has like your ID, your credit card, your, you know, that's my life, you know. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's your teddy bear. Maybe it's, you know, your phone if you're a teenager. You know, I don't know. It could be all kinds of things. But I wonder what we would say would be our most prized possession. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about what is your most prized possession? Not people. Okay, well, my wife, John. No. Okay, like think about your, you know, your thing. Well, I have a horse and it's worth about $100,000, and that's my most prized possession, okay, or whatever the case may be. But you have a prized possession. Well, this was hers. This was the thing that she probably had, you know, and it was extremely expensive, whatever. Moving on, you get it. See, it would be one thing right there if we just kind of stopped with this story and she poured this most expensive thing at the feet of Jesus, but she went so far beyond just pouring oil on the feet of Jesus, right? So remember, he's been walking to Bethany. You know, they traveled there. They travel all the time. They walked. Their feet got really gross. We all know that. It's probably dirty and nasty. And when people would come over to somebody's house, the lowliest servant would have to serve them and wash their feet, wash the guest's feet, okay? So this was reserved for the servant that was like bottom tier, okay? And we've talked about, you know, positions before where you know, Jesus is washing his disciples' feet and things like that, and we know that that's the case. But this woman pours out this oil on Jesus' feet, and then she takes her hair down and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. And this is significant for a couple of reasons. One, back then in Jewish culture, it was taboo for you to pull your hair down. You didn't let your hair down, okay, in public. It was a sign that you had been involved with things, that you were doing things, you know, adult things. And so that was normally the sign, like, you know, if there's a woman with her hair down, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. And this is true because Bobby and I were in Africa on a mission trip. And that was one of the things that the missionaries told us was, you can't go outside with your hair down and your hair wet. Because if you go outside with your hair down and your hair wet, it's a signal for other people that you had just been involved with things. Okay, and so it was kind of neat to read in the scriptures that still today in certain cultures that's still kind of taboo. And so she let her hair down, and then she began to wash his feet with her hair. Would you wash somebody's feet with your hair? Okay, I want to hear that from the women in the room. Would you wash your husband's feet after he just got off the farm and was, you know, barefoot, you know, playing around in the cow stalls and all the, you know, everywhere, you know, would you wash his feet with your hair? Yeah, there you go. Okay, that's what I thought. Larry, you wouldn't wash your, well, there's no hair there. Okay. But you understand, right? I mean, you know, people just in general, like women, you know, I don't really think that that's just a normal thing for someone to walk into somebody's house and say, hey, let me wash your feet real quick. I don't know. I don't know how long her hair was. I don't know if it was like Rapunzel or something like that. I don't know. But all I do know is that, I mean, if she has normal long hair, that she's got to be in, like, his feet are like, you know, fairly close. And so there's probably, you know, it's dirty, it's gross. You know, Jesus' feet got gross too. And so I imagine that this, at this moment when this woman is down there doing this and cleaning his feet with her hair, that people are just astounded. And they're kind of taken back by her adoration for the Lord. So please remember that this is coming off the heels of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And that Mary is showing her adoration to the Lord because she loves him, because she adores him. And there is nothing that is going to stand between her and anyone and Jesus and showing how much she loves him, whether it be a cultural deal. What do you mean I can't take my hair down to wash my Savior's feet? Well, I'm going to whip it out, right? I'm going to dump my prized possession at his feet because I love him so much. I'm willing to give up everything that means anything to me to pour at his feet. And so she humbles herself at the feet of Jesus and cleans his feet with her own hair. And so we talk about heroes and we talk about people, we talk about things that people do in the scriptures. I think that this is one of the instances that we've just completely overlooked. And it's such a humbling moment that we should take heed of, that we should learn from, that we should begin to challenge ourselves in our own lives. And so think about this imagery of this woman who is coming and laying her prized possession at the feet of Jesus. Can you lay your prized possession at the feet of Jesus and be okay with it? and be 100% willing. Not that she had to. No one asked her to. No one made her do this. She did it because she wanted to. And there's a big difference in doing something because you want to versus doing something because someone asked you to. Am I right? Okay, I'm a pastor at this church, and I can tell you I'm right. Because there's people in this church, you can ask to do something and they will do it. They will do it. There are people here who will serve and we love that and we are appreciative. But there are other people here who will do it because they want to do it and you don't even have to ask them to do it. They will just do it. And there's a difference there. And we want people to serve and we want people to do this. But you guys understand the point there. There's a difference in willingness there. And she did this out of her own heart, out of her own adoration for Jesus, right? And you can imagine the smell in the room and how it just permeated the room, right? Have you guys ever smelled like any kind of Young Living essential oils or anything like that? My favorite is Peace and Calming. But the only reason I know that is because Bobby is an oiler. Is that what you call them? I don't know. But she loves essential oils. But, you know, just a little bitty drop of this essential oil will just smell, you smell it. I mean, it's amazing. And I can't imagine a pound of this liquid, this ointment or whatever it is. I'm sure that the smell was just amazing. And so intense and so strong. And I'm sure that it went throughout the entire house, right? And I'm sure that as John is writing and he's jotting these things down, I'm imagining himself like being at the moment and being in the moment like, oh, I remember this. I remember the smells and all of these things and the details and the humbleness in this moment, right? And I can imagine like this smell and how it just permeates everywhere. I can also like think to myself, this isn't in the Bible anywhere, but it's just what I think, that this is great imagery for us for the love of Christ that's going to throughout all the world. And that people are going to be reminded of and be told of this love of Christ that's going to permeate every nation and every tribe and every tongue and everywhere. And I want to tell people about that. I want to tell people and I want people to experience that type of love. And I wonder, is that where our heart is? Is that where your heart is? Do you want people to know the love of Jesus? Do you want people to have that aroma of Christ? Or do you even care? Do you want to go about your business and do you want to go about doing your things and do you want to go about just living your life for you and not even thinking about it? Yeah, I got fire insurance, John. I accepted Christ a long time ago. I was 7 years old. Congratulations that you have fire insurance. But is that living a life of what Christ has called you to live? Is that doing exactly what Christ has called you to do? I don't know. I don't want to be in that place. But here's where I don't want to be. Verse 4 says this, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was the ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And see, this is a moment for me that like this greedy little twerp, That's what I think Judas is like, this little, you know, just weasel of a fella. I don't know what he was supposed to look like. I don't know, but in my brain, I picture this little weaselly, you know, guy who just is annoying. And so not only does he, you know, betray Jesus, but he talks about this woman and this act of adoration for Jesus, and he begins to question, well, why didn't she just sell it? And listen, I love the scriptures when it says, look, that he didn't really care about giving to the poor because he was the treasurer of the committee, right? He was the one who was like, hey, I'll take care of all the money, folks. Don't worry about it. And what he would do is he would just skim off the top of the money. He would just take and help himself to the money. So he was sitting there thinking in his own brain, it wasn't about the oil and the value of the oil or anything like that. It was all about the money that he wasn't going to be able to get. And we know people like that in our life, right? We know people who are just greedy little twerps and they don't understand, right? Because sometimes when you do things for the Lord, it may seem crazy to other people. Am I right? Like when you serve the Lord and when you sacrifice for the Lord and when you do things for him, other people question why you're doing those things. Why would you even think that way? Why would you even do that? And we get nervous. We get nervous, right? Does anybody else get nervous? You get nervous for standing up for Jesus, you know, whether it be at school or whether it be at your workplace or whether it be the hardest place for me, like in your family. You know, and you get nervous and you begin to kind of stumble a little bit and be like, well, I mean, I just love the Lord, you know? And like, you know, that's what you say and that's what you need to say. But, you know, we have these moments that other people just don't understand. And I think that Judas is in this moment. And it wasn't just Judas. You have to know that he wasn't the only one. There were other people that did feel the same way, but Judas was the one that kind of led the charge there. You know, he was the outspoken one. I can't believe that she would do that. You ever had somebody say that? I can't believe that they would do that. I can't believe that they would serve this. I can't believe that they would volunteer. I can't believe blah, 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 blah. I shouldn't tell you this story. You ever do that? I shouldn't tell you this story, but I'm going to tell you this story anyway. I shouldn't tell you this story because it's not for anything, but we have a couple of friends that live in Florida, and they had just gotten married and just graduated college. And they were students in our student ministry while we were in Florida. And we've been doing this adoption stuff. And one of our friends here created this GoFundMe page and all this kind of stuff for our adoption. And this young couple donated $1,500. I'm going to say that again. Newly married, just graduated college, donated $1,500 to our adoption. Bobby and I are super humbled by that, and we thanked them and phone called and different things, and they were like, you know, we just know that God has chosen y'all, and we love that, and we love you guys, and we know that these children are going to be in this great place, and I'm the one who is receiving the gift. I told Bobby, I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. They just graduated college. They just got married. But they chose to do it because they felt that God was leading them to do that. And for me, I'm super humbled by that, but it was a challenge to me in my own life. And what am I willing to sacrifice to bless other people because we feel that God is calling us to do that? And so Judas in this moment was definitely not challenged to give with a cheerful heart, right? Judas wasn't challenged for that. And this is not a tithing message or a stewardship message or anything like that. But what it is a message of is that, where's your heart in this deal? Because Judas's heart, I can tell you where it was on a dollar amount. Judas clearly had no clue of what was going on here when Mary poured this ointment out at the feet of Jesus. I have friends who have left law firms to go be pastors. Think about that for a second. They're leaving jobs that are making millions of dollars to go be a pastor because they felt God calling them to do that. And I wonder what is God calling you to in your life? Again, what is the prized possession? What is the thing that God is calling you to lay down at the feet of Jesus? It could be all kinds of things. But again, somebody may think that that's crazy. Somebody may think that that's ludicrous. Somebody may say to you, you need to get checked out. You've lost your brain because they've lost sight of what it means to adore the one true living God and serve him completely and honestly. But the story goes on, and I love this because the way that maybe some people may see this is crazy or whatnot, but Jesus steps in again. And Jesus said, this is verse 7, Jesus said, leave her alone. I don't want Jesus to say those words to me. You leave her alone. We have kids that fight all the time. Like Carter and Harper they don't fight all the time, but you know, they're kind of in this phase of, he's touching me, you know, and Carter's like, you know, and Harper just, you know, ah! And we're like, Carter, leave her alone, you know, because he won't leave her alone. She won't leave us alone. You guys understand. Then you're locking your kids outside your house. Wait, we don't do that, do we? Wait, what? Okay, so you understand what I'm saying. You'll get an amen in the back. Leslie's like, yeah, get outside. Outside's like a cuss word for a kid these days. Like, outside? What is this that you speak of? Outside? Never! Right? I'm going to my room. I'm going to get on my iPhone, or I'm going to play. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to binge watch some Netflix. Whatever it is, right? But you understand what I'm saying, right? So he's in, like, Jesus says, leave her alone. And I can imagine it's probably not this, just leave her alone. Let her do her own thing. You know, there's moments for that. But I think that this is probably a little bit, you know, you leave her alone. Because it wasn't just Judas. Remember, it was other disciples too that were there that were kind of ganging up on this. They're like, I can't believe that you would do this. Why would you do such a thing? Ah, right? And so he says, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. Oh man, Jesus takes it deep immediately. It takes a quick left, right? You're like, everything's normal. We're eating dinner. This girl's bathing Jesus with this oil in her hair. Everything's normal. And then Jesus begins to speak. And it's another one of those moments for them where they're like, huh? You always speak in code. We don't ever understand what you're saying. Could you just speak English? Right? That's kind of funny because they didn't speak English. So I work hard on these jokes, people. Come on. All right. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. And see, here's the cool thing about it is that Jesus came to her defense, and he's going to come to your defense too. When the time is right and you need Jesus to step in, he's going to step in and he's going to defend you, right? He told them to leave her alone. He defended the love and adoration that Mary had for him, right? This is crazy. It's crazy because they had no clue what was happening here. They were so dumbfounded by this woman pouring this extremely expensive oil on Jesus' feet. And can you really put a price on someone's love and devotion for the Lord? That's crazy. That's so. Well, why? Why is it crazy to you? Why? That should be normal. See, that should be something that I'm going to give everything I have and put it at the feet of Jesus. And so this woman is a hero to me for several different reasons. And we're fixing to wrap this thing up. So because this woman laid her most prized possession at the feet of Jesus. She humbled herself and washed his feet with her hair. Yes, with her hair. She didn't care what anyone thought of her. She busted all cultural issues, all taboos, all whatever. It didn't matter. She did not care, and she did not let cultural things stand in the way of her love and adoration and showing that to Jesus. It would have been very easy for her to say things like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll just use my dress. Or no, I'm going to have a towel or something else. But she didn't do that. So this is significant. When she took her hair down, she was not going to let culture or anything else stand in the way of her love for Christ. Again, can you say that? Can you say that you're not going to let culture, my job, my place of employment, or whatever? Well, John, you know, I can't really talk about the love of Jesus. I work in the public school system, or I work at a hospital that doesn't have HEPA violations. And you know what? At some point, there's got to be a place where we say, you know what? Jesus is Lord, and he's going to take care of those things, and he's going to come to your defense. I'm not asking you to be reckless. Please understand that. I'm not asking you to violate, you know, codes and conducts and things like that. Please don't take it that way. But there's a possibility, there's probably an understanding that you and I both know that if we are a little bit more vocal about our love for Jesus, that we should be a little bit more vocal about our love for Jesus, and that we could be a little bit more vocal about our love for Jesus. It's one thing to stand on a street corner and proselytize. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to tell everybody in your workplace that they're going to hell, but what I am asking you to do is to go to your workplace and testify about the work of the Lord in your life. And I think that will go a long way. And I think that's what's going on here, is that she's not allowing her surroundings to control her adoration for Christ. And finally, her love for Jesus is compelling. I don't know a moment in my life where I've ever done something as such as this. I don't know that I've ever. Have you? Have you ever done something that you love Jesus so much? Have you ever done that? I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know that I could or couldn't. I mean, I want to say that I will give everything for the Lord. Do y'all have that battle? Do y'all ever have that battle inside your heart where you're like, Lord, I love you so much. But then sometimes when the conflict comes, it's like, Lord, help my unbelief, right? The prayer is real, right? The band's going to come and we're going to wrap this thing up this morning, okay? And we're going to end with some questions that I want you to think about. I wonder what you would give up to know the Lord. I wonder what it is in your life that you truly need to give up to truly follow after Christ. Not, well, John, I became a believer a long time ago. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking you is, what are the things that you need to get rid of to truly know the Lord? Is it a job? Is it something material? Is it some kind of wall that you've built up inside your heart? What is it that you need to get rid of to truly know the Lord? I guess, and so this question kind of follows that up. Like, what do you need to lay at the feet of Jesus? What is it that you need to pour out at the feet of Jesus to release that? To let that go and allow Christ and allow his love to cover you? And then what are the cultural things that you need to get rid of so that you can truly worship Jesus? What are the cultural things that stand in your way? What are you most fearful of? What are the things that stop you from speaking the truth of the gospel to people? Is it fear? Is it you're going to get made fun of? Is it you just don't have the words to say? What is it that you need to get rid of? And my prayer for you in this moment as we close up is that you would do work with the Lord, that you would answer these questions, that you would find yourself at a place, as Mary was, at the feet of Jesus, lavishing, just adoring him because of who he is and what he's done. Because again, this is coming off of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And here's the truth of the gospel is that you've been raised from the dead. You too have everything to be thankful for if you are a believer in Christ. You too were once dead and now are alive if you've accepted Christ, if you've repented of your sins, if you've decided to follow after him completely. But that's between you and God. We have everything to celebrate as believers. We have every reason to adore him and to lavish him with our love because of the sacrifice that he made for us. And his name is Jesus. And I hope that in this message today, you've been challenged. What is it that you need to get rid of for you to truly adore the one true living God? Let's pray. Father, we know that you are able to do more than we can imagine. And Father, as you step in, Father, we pray that we would step out. God, we pray that we would be a people that seek after you first. Father, that we would adore you, that we would love you completely, that we would give everything that we have to offer to you, Father. It's yours anyway, and Father, we pray that we could lay these things at your feet. Father, we pray that you would do work in our lives. Father, we pray for the lost souls today. God, we pray for people who don't know you as Savior. God, we pray that you would intervene. God, that you would inhabit their hearts. Father, they would be drawn to a relationship with you, that they would accept your love, Father. That you're waiting to pour out on top of them. And Father, we pray as believers, God, that we would pour out our love on you as our act of adoration to you and thankfulness in our hearts, Father, that we are grateful for what you've done. But God, ultimately, we pray that you would do work in our hearts because we are broken, messed up people in need of a Savior. God, we pray that you would forgive us for the so many times that we fail you. And that you would receive glory for everything that we do. Father, use this time this morning. And let our words bring honor to your name. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.